download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Toucher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It was times when I was on the sideline, I just wanted to go up and, you know, say to Belichick or Matt Patricia and just say, this how we going to end this. I grew up in the Patriot system, you know, and I'm a well mannered guy. You know, I respect my authority, and I just couldn't ask them for something they didn't want to do. I just was doing my job. I was close to going up there and saying what I wanted to say to Matt or Belichick, but I just stayed in my lane and just did my job, man. I really wanted to go ask him, man, but I didn't.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Got Dan Roach in this morning in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge June 1st and 2nd. You can register today at TeamTomBrady.com. What you just heard was the voice of Malcolm Butler. He spoke to Sports Illustrated on some weird Amazon thing that I had to go through 15 steps to end up getting the audio for. But nonetheless, he's talking now about what ended up happening at the Super Bowl. And since then, Mike Giardi from NBC Sports Boston, where our simulcast is indeed aired, he followed that up by contacting some players from the Patriots and getting a little more information on all of this, because to be quite honest, I'm never going to get over it until we find out exactly what's happened. and we're kind of getting closer to it. So right now with us on the hotline, Mike Giardi, what's going on, man?
Hey, gentlemen, what's happening?
Nothing much. Okay, so after this was done...
Hi, Mike.
Dan Roach, buddy. I don't know that this has ever happened before.
I know.
Dan Roach and Mike Giardi have been on the same radio station together.
Yeah, it's an honor.
Dan?
All mine, of course.
Would you like to just say something else positive and nice?
How the kids? Everyone good?
Good? Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's good.
Your dog?
He's great. He's right here, right next to me. He's yawning and he's pawing at me because he needs constant attention.
Awesome. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay.
Well, it's just great having you two on at the same time.
Listen, I'm getting my money's worth here. I've been in traffic for a freaking hour and 45 minutes.
All right. He's happy to.
I miss you too, Wallach.
What's up, Mike?
He's like, what's up, jackass? All right, so after that all aired, first of all, what did you think of that interview that Malcolm Butler did for Sports Illustrated?
You know, look, I felt like all along with Malcolm that the more Malcolm talks, the more likely you're going to get little windows into what happened. And I don't think he's ever going to say exactly what it is, because I think there's a lot that he probably doesn't want to be said. But the general feeling that I get, and as I continue to push for answers on this thing, is that, you know, as one of the players said, it wasn't without merit what happened to him, that he didn't start, that he didn't end up playing. So I just look at it like this is one of those scenarios where it's taken forever, but I think we're eventually going to get to the point where we find out exactly what went down and why it went down.
Okay, because, yeah, you had that, you know, that it wasn't without merit, and another Patriot or another player told you, he said he should have focused on what mattered those 2 weeks. And doesn't that right there tell you that this is outside of the explanation that we have received from Matt Patricia and Belichick, that it was just for football reasons only?
I think that he had a problem all year long, guys, with his sort of attention to detail and to focus. And, you know, I detailed it way back in the spring about his unhappiness with not getting back from him. And then, of course, Gilmore getting, you know, what he felt like was his money. And then if you look at the course of his season, you know, other than the New Orleans game, he played 95, 97, 98% of the snaps, that he wasn't the same player. He never was himself. And that was another thing one of the players said, you know. You know, he said, we appreciated him trying to get himself back to what he was, but was he ever the same guy last year? No, he wasn't. And that's another sort of, I think, sort of damning commentary on just his overall mindset during the course of the year and just never being able to sort of get past what had happened, you know. And I mean, look, at the end of the day, it didn't hurt him, didn't cost him very much money, but it certainly cost him, you know, his reputation a little bit around here, and certainly cost him, I don't know, maybe a little bit of respect from the course of some of his players, because, look, I think they all felt like they'd have been better served if he played, but he also put himself in a position where maybe he didn't deserve to play.
And now I agree with you that the more that he talks, the more of a chance or the closer we're getting to finding out what really happened. But you know, I know as somebody who covers the team, if somebody tells you anything, like if a source tells you something, you obviously want to double check it before you run with it because it's obviously irresponsible to throw out something like that. But have you heard from anybody that is somebody who you trust and whose information you trust a story about him doing something that would have made Belichick angry outside of football reasons that you just couldn't vet yet, but from someone you trust, had you heard any type of story involving Malcolm Butler?
Yeah, I've heard some things, but again, nothing that I've been 100% willing to, nothing I've been willing to go on the record with. But I mean, there's a lot of different things out there.
From people you trust who have told you things before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike, at the end of the day, when everything finally comes out, if it ever does and the air is cleared, who do you think the fans are going to be most upset with all this thing? Will it be Malcolm Butler because of the way the situation was handled, or just what he didn't do, or will it be Bill Belichick, like it seems like everybody in the world is mad at and has been mad at since the Super Bowl?
Yeah, for me personally, I think that you'd look upon Belichick's decision more favorably from what I'm gathering. But the problem is, and we had this conversation on our show on Friday, is that there's a group of people that don't care what he did, that just look at it as if to say, if you play them, we win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they'll never get past that. So I think there's a portion of the fan base that's, you could tell me, you know, he got busted smoking weed, he, you know, missed curfew, he missed meetings, you could throw a million things out there and they'll still say, okay, but in the second half when it was clear that you couldn't stop them, you should have had them out there. So I think there's that portion of the fan base that's never going to change for them, no matter what the final result is.
All right, we're talking to Mike Giardi, and you and Tommy Curran have both kind of been hinting around or at least reporting everything that's been happening with Rob Gronkowski, that there is a little unrest there between him and the organization. And there was the article that came out on ESPN this past weekend about just how basically it starts off by saying that Gronkowski more than likely will play for the Patriots. But then it goes into something that I know as Patriots fans makes you a little like worried, because there's one paragraph in particular that says, for Belichick, since the season's end, sources say he's expressed frustration with those close to him about Gronkowski, specifically questioning whether he remains all in, a critical aspect of Belichick's blueprint for success. And I know that you guys have reported, and I've heard the same thing, is that once Belichick starts imagining life without a player, it's almost like he buys in and starts the groundwork to potentially making a replacement or doing a trade. After reading this article and from everything you've heard, do you believe that there is a scenario where Rob Gronkowski would get traded this offseason?
I would not completely rule it out. I think the preference all along is to keep him because, look, he's the best tight end in the game, and you maybe could make the argument that he is the best offensive weapon in the game. So I think from that standpoint, if the Patriots had their druthers, yeah, you keep him because you're just there's no way to replace him. You're just that much better with him on your team than without. But the point being is he really in? And, you know, look, they got a plan for the future. Like, if this is continued nonsense from him about whether or not, you know, how much longer I'm going to keep playing and all that, then I think you got to think about, you know, finding his replacement. And like I said, you're not going to find a Rob Gronkowski or a Rob Gronkowski, easy for me to say, clone, but I think that's something that they got to look at. They got to start considering the future because he's sort of playing this thing by ear, almost like Brady appears to be playing it by ear.
One more, sorry about that. One more question about Malcolm Butler in the situation, Mike. Do you think this will still be hanging over the Patriots as we get to training camp? And if it is, could this affect the team much like it affected Atlanta the first quarter or half of last season? And Seattle, we all know, after the controversial pass that was intercepted by Butler in the Super Bowl, they have not been the same. Could that kind of thing take this Patriots team down?
I think it's not just the Butler thing. I think it's the relationships with Gronk and with Brady and the Alex Guerrero thing. I think that stuff needs to be I don't know how you fix it because Alex back in the building full time, and I'm not sure that that's something that, that Belichick's going to be willing to do. But they got to come to some sort of better arrangement so that those guys don't get their feelings hurt again.
All right, how tough does it the fact that Rob Gronkowski continues to say that he would more than likely be back if Tom Brady is his quarterback? How tough does that make trading Rob Gronkowski for the Patriots if they want to do that?
Yeah, I mean, look at that. If he is being true to his word, then it makes it really difficult. Which is, you know, I've talked about the idea that if he's not feeling like he's fully on the train, then I would trade him. But you're certainly not going to get value for him anyway, just because you're not going to be able to get the kind of player that he is. But also, then, like, if I'm a team, well, I don't know if he's going to show up, and then it's got to be conditional picks, and maybe it's later conditional picks, and how long is he going to be committed to us? So. Yeah, it certainly hurts them at the bargaining table.
But do you let the other team, Mike, talk extension before you pulled off a trade, you know?
I think that would be the wise thing to do. If you're looking to max out, let's take San Francisco, for instance, they could use a tight end. Yeah, absolutely.
Right,
John Lynch, you get 48 hours to try to make something happen with Rob Gronkowski.
So let's say that there's a trade that the Patriots find. There's a couple questions about this. Let's say there's a trade that they find, and it's a team that Rob Gronkowski would want to play for. Like, we were joking with Burt Breer. I wasn't joking. Burt Breer brought up the Rams, and I'm like, oh, my God, Rob Gronkowski in Los Angeles. I mean, it's like a match made in heaven. Do you think that what kind of compensation would the Patriots get in return for Rob Gronkowski?
I think right now, basically, you're looking at second and third round picks. So maybe you can put some sort of condition on it if he plays X amount of snaps and he's all pro, that maybe you get a first, obviously not this year, but next year, maybe. But I don't know if another team would be willing to do that.
Are Rob and Tom Brady tight enough that if Bill Belichick was considering trading Rob Gronkowski, that Tom Brady could go to the Crafts and say, I don't want this to happen?
I think Tom Brady can go to anybody to the Crafts and tell him what he wants. I think we're sort of seeing that he's flexed a little bit more muscle here. I think that I don't think Tom wants to go into the season without Rob, and I don't think Rob wants to play without Tom. But at least Rob's got the option of Hollywood, or at least he thinks he has the options of Hollywood. You know, so it wouldn't surprise me in the least bit if Tom, and I don't know honestly, because he puts it in the seats. I'm not sure that the Crafts would want to trade him.
All right, so if the Crafts want this all to go away, why not just pay the two of them? Why not just pay Gronk and why not just pay Brady? Because these are two guys, unlike some cases in the past, that are totally worth it. These are guys that obviously they're both underpaid. Why not just give them more money? Give, you know, Brady whatever, you know, he's looking for, and give Rob Gronkowski obviously a bump because he's seeing all around him all of these lesser players getting cash.
Yeah, I mean, I think more so with Gronk in terms of the money. I don't know if Tom has really ever cared about how much money. I mean, I think he understands, you know, the other stuff that comes with what he's been able to do and what the winning in New England has allowed him to do. I think still that comes back to Guerrero. Like, Rob wants more money, but I also think they didn't enjoy last season. They didn't enjoy feeling as if that they weren't getting what they deserved and getting, you know, you're talking about someone who they both believe has helped their body tremendously and allowed them to have the years that they had in part. So that to me is the bigger thing. How do you make that work?
All right. Well, Mike Giardi, keep digging, because I know we're right there. We are almost at the point where we're going to find out what happened with Malcolm Butler, and then all hell will break loose. But
I'm confident. I'm confident we'll get there.
Okay. All right. We appreciate it, Mike. Thanks a bunch, man.
See you, Mike.
All right. I just like the fact that Mike said that he's spoken to sources that he has trusted in the past who have said that there are disciplinary things and reasons outside of football that Malcolm Butler was benched.
I go back. I heard and minutes after the Super Bowl, Rich, I had a source tell me that, and I'll stick to my dies, that they knew, you know, the captains knew going into practice that week or early on in the week that he wasn't going to play. And so there's something happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they knew. It wasn't a last-minute game-time decision. So they knew.
All right. Well, we will get to that. 617-779-0985. Your calls on that. Plus, here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason.
Toucher. Oh, my God. And Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Week
before the Super Bowl, you know, I wasn't feeling too well. Like, I had the flu, nose running, nose stopped up. You know, I took a trip to the hospital, and I didn't travel with the team the day they traveled down there. I never missed a game, never, like, missed practice or anything like that. And what we would have won if, you know, I played, probably, maybe. Not sure, but I would say we were short about one or two plays, and I seen a couple plays out there I could have made. It was just a coaching decision. This one ain't work out good for me, him, or the New England Patriots organization.
985 of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich, and caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985 will win a dozen Callaway Chrome Soft golf balls. The new Chrome Soft combines tour-proven performance with unparalleled field distance and spin control. Chrome Soft, the ball that changed the ball. Caller 10, 617-931-0985. That is Malcolm Butler speaking to Sports Illustrated with very ominous music in the background. Just to make you know, this is serious stuff we're talking about. Just get ready, because your mind's about to be blown. But we had Mike Giardi on, and he was, you know, telling us that from the people that he contacted after Malcolm Butler spoke, that this is something that more than likely, actually, what was the actual phrasing of it? The players said, quote, "We all wished it would have worked out better, and he should have focused on what mattered those 2 weeks." And then he said, "We didn't like the decision, but it wasn't without merit." And then you got the Gronkowski stuff.
Without merit part is the interesting, you know what I mean?
Sure. And once again, and even Mike, who once again is, I keep saying once again, but he was very close to these players, and they have been this whole time speaking with him. It sounds like, according to him, sooner or later we're going to find out what actually happened.
Yeah.
And we need to know. I mean, that's something, it's the Super Bowl. It was the most egregious thing. It's the worst decision we've ever seen the greatest coach in football history ever make. Agreed?
Yes.
So the worst thing Bill Belichick, worst coaching decision that any of us have ever seen him make.
Put it this way, fourth and two.
No.
Depending upon
that's
what
a play.
Happened.
This lasted a whole game.
No, I understand.
And there, and it was the Super Bowl. That's why it's so right. much I mean, bigger.
The
so
one thing is, if it was that egregious and what have you, if it wasn't without merit, then there should have been somebody else dressed, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's part of the equation too. And if you're not going to do that, then don't play him. Don't put him on the sideline.
And there's the report that Belichick is frustrated that he doesn't think Gronkowski is all in. There's talk about possibly him considering a trade because he doesn't think that he's fully committed. And then there in the report, the one thing that we've glossed over is that Bill Belichick does not like Rob Gronkowski's social media posts, especially the one to Danny Amendola where it says "Be free and happy" in capital letters. Let's go to Bill, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, good.
A lot of this stuff is all smokescreen. Listen, Belichick's old school. First of all, when a player verbally and physically attacks a coach, he's not going to play. And especially when that coach is the head coach's son, and that's what it all boils down to. And I'll just let you guys...
Now, Bill, real quick, that is, I mean, obviously, that's not something that has not been confirmed. That was one of those, right, of the many things that were floating out there that there's really no evidence of or nobody on record saying. So, have you heard something? Are you an insider?
It'll come out shortly, yes.
Bill,
you gotta tell a little
Bill, okay,
longer.
Since you know, Bill, give us more details.
He was sick and he was acting up a little bit, and his, you know, Belichick's kid went up to him, and there was a verbal and a physical altercation, and that was it. And I heard the only reason he did dress, Belichick's not an idiot, if somebody really got hurt, he would have been in. But after disrespecting what he did all year and then doing that to it, it didn't matter what coach he did it to, but to do it to his kid. The words he used, and, you know, I'm not going to say he hit him, but he got physical with him, and it'll come out. That's what he did.
All right, so, Bill, without naming names, like, what type of person did you hear this from?
What type of person?
Was it a player or somebody within the organization? Who did you hear this from?
One of the coaches in the organization.
Okay, so you heard it from one of the coaches. Now, what were the words that were said?
That there was a verbal and physical altercation between Malcolm Butler and one of the defensive coaches, and then as he talked more, you know how you say things without saying it, that it was Belichick's kid, and that's, you know, I'm not saying it wouldn't have happened if he went up and did it to Patricia, but you know, it's going to be worse if somebody picks on my kid and, you know, rather than one of my other employees. And that's what it was.
Now so. where did this happen? Because I've heard several different versions of this story as to the location of where this fight happened.
It happened outside of the locker room as they were leaving to go to one of the dinner functions.
And why was Malcolm Butler being approached? Like, what did from what you heard Belichick's son say to him to make him angry?
Just, you know, basically it's the Super Bowl, you know, get your head on straight. What the hell's wrong with your attitude? You know, it had been boiling up, as everybody knows, and Butler just went off and, you know, that's one of his coaches and, never mind verbally, you don't get physical with anybody. I mean,
was it a push? Was it a push from what you heard, or is it
more or less of a shove? And there were people there that got in between. So,
okay, it was like a hold me back situation. Hold me back.
Yeah, and I think Devin McCourty might have been there, but I won't. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth.
Well, Bill, I'm going to save this call, and if it is indeed true, you can come. You can call back in and give us a victory lap. Okay,
there it is.
All right, pal.
All right, see you, man. Let's look at us. Breaking news. We got Insider Bill calling in, giving us the shakedown on what actually... Well, what's kind of funny, I mean, is that's a story that's been thrown around all over the place. Okay, let me ask you this. Let's go ahead and stay in Bizarro Land, and let's say that is exactly... mm-hmm. Let's say that happened.
Sure.
Would you be mad at Bill Belichick for not playing Malcolm Butler? Because Mike Giardi said there's a faction of people like, I don't care what happened,
yes.
Play right. The guy. It's the Super Bowl. Would you be upset with Bill Belichick, even if that happened, where it was a get out of my face, he pushes him. Now, he's just a push thing, and it's kind of a little scuffle. There's not like a fist to the face, and there's not, but if it was a push situation, he grabbed him, would you still be upset with Bill Belichick for not putting in Malcolm Butler?
Yes.
See, I would too. I know that would, but I mean, yeah. Isn't that something?
He didn't
that, like,
punch him in the face. He didn't
man,
knock him down. If
right.
You pushed him aside,
yeah,
that's normal.
Grown
nonsense.
Man in could a violent
been,
sport
could yeah. have been the final straw.
Yeah, dude, he's gonna be gone after that. It's a grown man in a violent sport. You're telling me that stuff like that doesn't happen like a lot. Now, obviously, it depends on what he said. That would also be kind of interesting. But even if, I mean, let's say he, you know, called his mom a bad word or, you know, something like really personal. Would you be mad at Bill Belichick?
No.
I don't know. I'd have to hear what it was. But if it was just like them yelling at each other.
It calls it more into question. Right. But if it's just get out of my way.
Just get out of my face. You know, who
Rich
the hell are you
like
to tell
who
me?
Who are you? Right. Yeah.
Coach's then, son. And, you know, he pushes him or something like that.
I would be upset at him for benching
him. I'd still
so
be pissed.
Rich would like to cross-examine the witness. That's what you like to do, right?
Sure. I want to know what he said. But if it was just, you know, he called himself like, coach's son, you don't know what you're talking about, and pushes him, you know what? Grown men in a violent sport, you get heated, you do stupid stuff
can't
like that.
Can't say that Belichick wouldn't have anticipated something like that to happen the second he hired his son as an assistant.
And Dan is exactly right. He just even said in my headphones, it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's the Super Effing Bowl. At some point, all of these people, you owe it to every player on that team who did everything they could to get there, to do everything you can to get them a Lombardi and get them a ring. And at some point, you got to swallow your pride. If that's all it was, once again, if that's all it was, just like a push and somebody calling somebody a name, I would still be a little upset. I know
I
it's a little justification
to,
out there.
You're
but,
right. I get your frustration and everything else, but I go back to, come on, Malcolm. Like, seriously?
I don't
like,
have
at
any...
At this point, you're getting
sure.
ready for the Super Bowl.
Right, get yourself together.
All these shenanigans sure. or whatever you're doing, everything else, really?
Yeah, get yourself... Yeah.
You're doing that to your teammates, you're going to get your money.
For sure.
You know, and plus, if you go out and play the game of your life and get a pick or two in the Super Bowl, you may get more money.
Yeah.
You know, come on.
All right. Well, 617-779-0985. Let's get to John Wallach's headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
All right, 98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Dan Roach is in
up,
this
stack,
point.
Stack,
something weird has happened over the commercial break, and that is that you know we had a guy who said he was an insider, called an insider Jim, and he said that he was 100% convinced that he had been told this story from somebody he said was on the coaching staff of the Patriots, that the whole reason that Bill Belichick had benched Malcolm Butler during the Super Bowl was that story that we've all heard, that you know that's been thrown out there, speculation that there was a verbal and physical altercation that happened with Bill Belichick's son, and that's why he was benched. Now, I asked him, you know, what was the extent of the physical part of it, and he said it was just a bunch of pushing, we didn't really get into what names were being called and stuff like that. And Mike Giardi was on earlier with us, said there's a faction of people who are like, I don't care what happened.
No matter what,
you put him in the Super Bowl because it's the Super Bowl. And the more and more I think about Insider Jim's story, the more I kind of believe it.
Yeah.
I know it sounds strange, but I mean,
don't believe it, Rich.
Because, once again, Giardi talked to these players. And listen to these quotes now. If you just, for some reason, just go with me here. If for some reason you believe Insider Jim.
You're like the Inquirer.
But I find it fascinating because now it's like.
Is there an alien on the sidelines?
I'm having a moment where everything's
kind of falling. Until you get an answer, Dan, this answer is just as good as any of the others that are thrown out there.
Until we get someone on record saying what happened, we're allowed to do this. Because they've. And they're letting us do this.
If they're going to be deliberately evasive, I want to. You know, these theories are just as good as anything else you've heard.
On top of that, it's fun as hell. Okay, so look at these quotes that Giardi got for these players. He goes, Malcolm should have focused on what mattered those 2 weeks, and it wasn't like the decision was without merit. I like it. And then it brings up the fact, the question is, if let's say that was true, do you still blame Bill Belichick for not putting him in? You know, if it was just a push, you know, and he got in the face,
here's what I do know.
Coach's boy.
Bill Belichick, as we've seen, has arguably the most discipline of any head coach I've ever seen.
Sure.
Not to be tempted. When they're running up and down the field on you like that,
right,
putting a point, how is he not tempted to just say, you know what, he's going to be out of here, and you know, or as soon as the game ends?
All right, was there a line and he crossed it? I find this fascinating. Frank, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good.
My frustration with this is exactly what you guys are saying, right? No matter if Butler had done something that was really bad, the story would already be out. And if he's really bad, it would be like something like, you know, oh, he shot somebody.
Or you mean illegal. Yeah. But something not illegal. Right. But something not illegal, like a fight, you know, I could see how, like, I've heard people say, well, you know, how come none of the players have said anything? And he said, you know, Devin McCourty was there and all that. I was like, well, because they got to work with Bill Belichick. Like, you're not going to, if they wanted to keep this quiet, if Bill and everyone wanted to keep this whole thing quiet and go with the whole it's football reasons, if you're a player and you got to see him every day next season, why the hell would you tell anybody? Now, you could be vague and say, well, there were other reasons, but I am not at liberty to say. So anyone comes to me and says, players are saying, oh, they don't know of anything happening. Well, of course they're not going to say it. That's somebody you got to work with every day.
But what we do know is that they knew he wasn't going to play or at least start the game.
Well, maybe it was because that it was after that situation and they said,
but
they
knew early in the week.
Well, because they're like, well, you need to start planning for a game without this guy because this jackass is pushing my son around or whatever happened. Let's go to Dan. Dan, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
2 points I just want to make. The first is that I remember before the Super Bowl, where Bill always does his pregame walkthrough of the field. He usually always does that by himself, and he had Steve out there with him doing that pregame walk.
Kind of as a, hey, it's going to be okay, Steve.
Yeah, no, he's done that.
We got your back.
We can poo-poo that one, because he's done that many a time.
I know. I just wanted to go
with Steve. I'm sorry, I'm not playing along right now.
Come on, Dan.
Right, we've seen it a lot. Right. Happen all the time.
I saw
not before the Super Bowl, though.
I saw a cut under his eye, too, didn't I, when he was walking back to the field? Now we're getting somewhere. Okay.
Let's go to Charlie. Hey, Charlie, blow my mind. Even though your name is spelled Charle, just Charles.
Oh,
Charlie, blow my mind. Give me some good stuff about Butler.
Yeah, listen, right? The thing about it is it's a Super Bowl, and Belichick always saying that nobody is bigger than the team. Well, he made Butler bigger than the team when he deprived everybody else a chance to win a Super Bowl on a Super Bowl day. So evidently, Butler was everybody else, like you said, bust their butt to get to the Super Bowl, and then you wait to the last second, and then all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying, they take him out.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
see, I think that goes the... Oh, God, you
well,
go.
I think, right. I think in that
that's
case, he made himself bigger than the team.
No, yeah. I'm going to say that now because Butler.
That's the opposite.
This, so
no, I'm actually on your side.
Exactly right,
Danny.
I agree with you, Charles.
It's Rich that's piling on, not me.
Charles, you're right.
No, Rich is piling on.
Way to go, Charles.
It's Dano Charles.
You've caused a bunch of controversy here. Yeah, I mean, but I do find that funny. Even if that was the case, where if it's just a case of pushing, Malcolm Butler got pissed and pushed, you know, Steve Belichick. Now, granted, if it was nothing worse than, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, coach's son, who do you think you are, blah, 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 then most people are still like, all right, well, Belichick was still wrong. These are grown men. Now, once again, he could have said something. Oh, I wonder what that line would be. What could you say that would just make it everyone turn around and go, yep, you got to bench his ass for that in the Super Bowl.
Right, just getting physical with a coach or with someone.
Yeah, it has to do with It has to do with his dad.
It would have
That's the only way.
Or
I mean, that should be personal.
Had enough. And again, if you
you wouldn't have this job,
question, but you go against the authority of your head coach, you're done. You know, and if Bill says that, you know what, you're going to be a free agent. We just got to win. And Bill, we know Bill. Who wants to win anyone more than Bill? Brady, maybe they're the same. Why would Bill not do that if it wasn't something that felt like he was it was going against the grain of everything that he stands for?
We got another insider.
Oh,
just Peter. Is it just Pete?
Hey, how are you?
I hear you got the goods.
So look, I was in the gym here in Jacksonville working out, and there was a kid there working out. Young kid had Utah State, I want to say it is, all college gear on, and he's doing a crazy workout. So I started talking to him about working out, and he said, yeah, I have my pro day in, whatever it was, a month at that point. And I said, oh, you know, I'm a big Patriots fan, da da da. I started talking about Malcolm Butler. He said, I was waiting for you to talk about that. We have the same agent company. And I said, well, what happened then? He said, the truth is, nothing happened. He was sick, and he was in the hospital and wasn't up to game plan. And that was it.
That's agent speak.
Yeah, you think the agent's going to say, yeah, my client was awful.
All right, John, we're going to find out Butler's agent, and we're going to find a dude from Utah State who signed up with Butler's agency, and then that'll be true.
I was working out with a guy that had the same agent company as Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, that's right. He said agent company,
didn't he? He's down in Jacksonville. Who doesn't work out in Jacksonville?
So you know it's solid. If he's got the same agent company, they all talk. Everyone knows the truth. Let's go to Jim. Jim, what's up, man?
Nothing much. Did anybody look into, Kraft's girlfriend? You know, as to...
I mean, I'm not even going to dignify that one.
Rolling on that.
That
one
is something I will not even... That was a terrible call. Please never call again.
This is like crime scene of the crime.
Right.
Crime scene of the crime.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
CSI?
Remember Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Oh, yeah.
That's what Peter Brenner worked for.
Jesus. All these insiders. I'll tell you what, they only call one show. It's the Toucher and Rich show.
That's right.
When you have an insider. Unlike that last guy who was a knave. A cad. By the way, there's a video that just was released of Gordon Hayward jogging.
Yes.
Around the
He's running now, Rich. He's running.
It's not a run.
He's slow jogging.
He's slow jogging.
Back and forth width-wise across the court.
So there you go.
Using cones as a guideline.
He is running. So yeah. We will be right back with Dan Roach and Zolak and Bertrand and maybe an insider or two on the old super secret hotline up here. And we got straight to the Toucher and Rich show. Listen, you got the goods you want to deliver. This is a show to call. 617-779-0985.
Or it'll be
in your car at 98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app,
and on your computer.
98.5thesportshub.com.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. And, we have Dan Roach in for Fred, who is obviously sick. Texted us this morning, but we didn't even get to because of all the stuff that happened with
a lot going
Butler
on.
And there is a ton going on.
Villanova, my son's school's playing for the national title again tonight.
That is the largest spread in a national championship game, in like 7 or 8 years or something.
Fearful
like that?
Because Villanova shot the lights out. They had the game of their life shooting on Saturday.
They look great.
And Michigan can play some defense. I mean, that's you can say what you want about them. They can play some defense, so I'd be leery. If I was the man that was betting and putting a coin or two on this one, I might go with the Michigan in the under.
Six-point spread?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
I think that's right. And I was at TD Garden last weekend to watch the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight where Villanova was.
Yeah.
They have so many guys who could score. They have so many offensive weapons. That kid Brunson's their best player. But
yeah. Their NBA lottery pick.
Because
like
everyone's turning us off because we're talking
right?
college basketball.
No,
just say
not.
One thing.
No,
Villanova's going to win this game.
Yeah, it's a big game
their
tonight.
Villanova's going to win this game.
Their fifth offensive option right now is an NBA draft lottery pick, right? Wasn't it Mikal Bridges, a guy who was going to be an NBA draft lottery pick?
Yeah.
He's their fifth option.
They should win this game.
So much on offense.
They probably should win. Real quick, because we haven't even been able to talk about it. Opening weekend, what'd you think?
It was good. You know, the hiccup of the opener where, you know, Kelly had the tough outing and Carson Smith, but the Red Sox look like they're going to be a very good team.
Yeah.
I mean,
are you worried
offensively?
Offense
hasn't done anything. Well, no, because it's four games in. You've
sure.
got plenty of time to get the offense going. So I think they'll be good. I think we've seen as Cora said, he likes Bogaerts in that five hole, wants mm-hmm. to put him there, and 1-2 and Benintendi and Betts, and there you go. So
I thought about you this weekend because of Gabe Kapler, and I know that you were buddies with him. Boy, talk about, if there's any team you're going to F up, you don't want it to be Philly.
Oh.
So he has been, what did you say, he's used 21 pitchers in how?
In 28 innings.
In 28 innings. On top of that, he called a guy in who had not warmed up yet.
No, yeah, there's nobody out in the bullpen. They show him, come out to the mound, call for the left-hander,
and no
there's
one's warming
nobody up.
So,
how bad is that?
So you got to be thinking that they're just, you know, pitchforks and torches already.
Yes.
Just one weekend in.
It wasn't
Philly.
Just that. His three-hitter, Abdubel Herrera, was benched for opening day. Because why? He didn't like the matchup. Your three-hitter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's sit Haley Ramirez down. Let's
early.
Sit Mookie Betts down. Yeah. We don't like the starter.
Okay, so how long until there's an article about that Gabe Kapler's actually a mad genius? That he's actually figured it out and
ooh.
We just haven't, like, gotten on his level yet. There's going to be one. There's going to be one soon. Now,
have you seen the Philadelphia media? I don't think that story's ever going to happen.
It's going to be someone who's smarter than the Philadelphia media, or at least pretends to be.
It's going to be a national guy. Ken Rosenthal will pen, an 800-word essay.
Because here's why. It's because Gabe Kapler is, like, so likable, and I guarantee you he's got that thing where people in the media who have covered him
mm-hmm.
are going to want to try to protect him right now. I bet by the end of the day there will be an article talking about how what Gabe Kapler is doing is actually somewhat genius, but we just got... All of us plebeians need to figure this out.
I don't think so.
All right.
Well, I'm not worried about
that's
that.
That's just my weird prediction.
Plus, they're 1-2, so if they start winning, then they'll get the mad genius going.
Maybe we will. Scott Zolak, how was your Easter? How you doing?
What's going on?
Hi.
Easter, everybody had a great Easter?
Yeah?
What'd you eat?
You know what? I didn't do the ham thing.
No?
No.
I left Friday. I was driving back on Route 1 and... Honey Baked Ham line was like out the door and around the block in the corner. I'm like, you people are just like, they do sell ham in supermarkets.
Yeah, I saw you like ranting on that.
It's crazy. I mean, it might taste different. It's a ham is ham. Like, yeah, oh my God, I got to get this kind of bacon.
Yeah.
Because I've never had other kind of bacon.
I got a gift card one time from somebody for Honey Baked Ham, and I'm like, all right, so we'll do Easter there, and I order the ham. And you're right. It's like you have to earn that damn ham because it's like I had to wait in line for like 45 minutes.
It's not worth it.
And you know what? I think it was the Friday before Easter.
I mean, it's good. It's good ham.
It's great ham. It's excellent. But, I mean, you got to earn it.
But they have other spiral cut hams that they sell. You just put the rubber, put it in an oven. That thing bakes nicely.
Good. Yep.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm at the point where you got to temper the amount of chocolate and stuff that you give the kids because it's like if you do that and then you go to Mass, nobody enjoys Easter service. Nobody. Nobody gets anything out of Easter service. It's like even if you go to church every single week, it's misery for you. If you go to every week, you should get a pardon or the Pope should say you can skip Easter Mass because it's hell and you get nothing out of it and your kids hate it and everyone wants to get out of there. And one out of every 3 years, there's a priest that yells at you because you don't go to Mass enough.
My kid can't sit still like me. You know, so he's always moving, but he was really good yesterday.
Really?
But he moved the service very well. I mean, it was good.
Okay.
You know, not a long sermon, but it was good enough.
You didn't have to go to the annex, like sit in the gym?
Like the communion was a machine gun, like boom, 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 right through.
Yeah.
We're in and out, an hour and 5 minutes. It was great.
Hour and five?
Hour and five. Normally, like on Easter, it's like an
it's
hour
pretty
and
good.
Half.
Not bad. So what do you guys do?
He got RBI Baseball for Xbox One. We played like five games yesterday.
Well, how'd you do?
Love it.
Wow. Nice.
He takes the All-Star team, and he now knows who Aaron Judge is.
And it's gone.
Wow, that kid's big. That guy's big. I'm like, wait till the next guy's upstanding. He hit two home runs back-to-back. I didn't hit any home runs, Roachie. He hit seven yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, man.
He picks it up quick.
What are you guys going to talk about the...
Start with Gronk.
Yeah.
The Darlington audio. It's fantastic. I just think you got pretty good tidbits. And I just remember being down in Miami. Darlington's a Miami guy. So mm-hmm. He used to cover the Dolphins. I know he works for NFL Network. But when you're in Miami, you're Miami based. If you're Armando Salguera and those guys... you've seen Drew Rosenhaus for about 40 years now.
Yeah, because he's always around there.
Some sort of a tie-in with Rosenhaus, I think. But
okay.
We're starting there.